I seem to be passing by Aldro Airfield. That's not a very Korean-looking word. A-L-D-D-R-E-U. Almost French. Aldro. Except for the double D. The Olay Trail did point that way, but I'm staying by the coastline. But I see somebody, like, parasailing. Like, gliding. Like, parachuting, but a little more directed, you know? I don't know the name of everything specifically. But that's kind of interesting, because there's only one mountain pretty far in the distance, and it's not that big, so I don't know where the heck that guy originated from. But maybe there's some kind of, parasailing stuff going on at that airfield somehow? Anyway, it's 3 days later. I took a couple days off because I was quite sunburned last time, even though it was really cloudy and overcast the whole day. Today is the same thing. Cloudy, overcast, pretty windy, not as windy, but not too hot. I mean, I'm still endlessly sweating. It's super humid, but I think it's below 30 degrees. So hey, that's good for this fucking time of year for July on Jeju Island. I'll take it. But thankfully, my burns didn't seem too terrible, because they're definitely fading, and I don't think I got any peeling coming in my future. I guess we'll see. The worst was definitely my neck. And this is interesting. I've kind of fallen away from the coastline, but I'm coming up to Cheonamdan Coastal Road. C-H-O-E-N-A-M-D-A-N. And the road goes to a dead end, but then there's a little hiking symbol, so I guess we're gonna go down there, see what happens. Because, yeah, at first I was having some trouble today because there was a lot of fishery type stuff that was a bit confusing to work my way around, although there was another point with, like, dolphin statues. Last episode I found a dolphin viewpoint on the coast, so this seemed to be more of that, although I didn't see any dolphins, but that's kind of cool. All along here there's potential dolphins. And I saw some horse statues, you know, kind of like horse scarecrows. That was unusual, because again, like, there's three of them, and from a distance, I was like, man, those really look like real horses. But they're not moving at all. So I was, like, quite sure that they were statues, but you never know, but they were. But yeah, overall, this has been nice coastal walk, just more coastal stuff. And man, thank goodness, there was a one of those big periods where there's just no convenience stores. It is weird because there's quite a few convenience stores in South Korea, but just not as many as Japan. And yeah, you just hit these parts where it's like, I feel like even if I was in rural Japan, I would have hit a convenience store by now. Felt like I was going a very long way and there's just nothing. And I was flagging a bit because just to make the journey here easier, I didn't buy any coffee or anything beforehand, or all I ate was like some, I don't know, weird little Ritz crackers I had in my hotel room. I finally found a 7-Eleven, and then near that also a Happy to See You, but those are still the only two I've seen today, and I haven't seen any since, and it's like, thank God, because man, that makes a big difference. You know, just because of the humidity and stuff. I had a headache building up that is probably because of my caffeine dependence. So I did the buy two coffee, get one free, and a Snickers bar, and then today's random ice cream bars. It is so confusing trying to figure out what the deals are on the ice cream bars. It's like out of control. It's so complicated at all the stores, and they're not quite the same between all the stores, and even whatever's listed on the thing may or may not be there, so I just gave up. I'm like, okay, let me just find one of the buy two, get one frees that is actually here, and I don't care what it is, I'll just get it. Turns out it was a red bean paste popsicle. And that was kind of interesting, because it was similar to the plum popsicles that have shredded plum in them. These bean popsicles had bean in them, had little beans in them. Oh, I'm heading past Jeju Water Supply and Sewage Treatment Headquarters. There's a sewage treatment plant in my hometown that smells terrible. This one smells fine. We'll see though. Again, I don't know if this is actually the treatment plant or just the headquarters, but We'll see. Ah, there's the coast. Made it back to the coast. Nice. But yeah, I wouldn't say I love the bean paste popsicles, but they certainly weren't bad. And again, it is just kind of neat because that is another thing that we just don't have here. Melon, plum, red bean paste. Pretty rare things in North America. The first time I ever heard of red bean paste, it was way back in, must have been the late 90s or maybe the early 2000s, but I was reading Jackie Chan's autobiography. And he had quite a crazy life. He kind of grew up in an orphanage, but he knew his parents. His parents basically just took him to this orphanage because they just couldn't afford to have him at home, basically, but they still came to visit him and stuff. So he was an orphan, but not an orphan. And while he was there, he said, like, there's a reason why his generation is like the last generation of like kung fu type practitioners that can do what he can do. I don't even know if kung fu is what he does. In martial arts, let's call it that. But the reason him and his generation were so amazing is because he said how he was raised was functionally child abuse. You know, it'd just be crazy stuff like stand on this table and do a backflip onto a concrete floor with no training. They just say do it, and if you do it and you smash your head on the ground, well, that'll teach you not to do that next time. That's kind of how he was taught. That's how he learned, like, just like learn it or else. Crazy. But he mentioned, like, as a kid, you know, he didn't have very fancy tastes or big expectations or anything. Anything he could get that was, you know, not orphanage martial arts life, he was happy for. But his favorite thing were red bean paste buns. And I had no idea what that was. As a white guy from Eastern Canada, I had no sense whatsoever about what red bean paste was or how it tasted. But he claimed it was good. So when I finally got to try some, probably not till I moved to Vancouver in the mid-2000s, I finally got to try red bean paste, and I was like, oh, it's good. It's very tasty. But then when I went to look it up, like, wow, this is amazing. How do they do this? How do they make beans sweet like this? What's the magical trick? And it turns out the magical trick is just put a bunch of sugar in it. There is no magical trick. So I was like, okay, fair enough. It probably could be pretty much anything. This could be rutabaga. This could be anything, man. It's just you put this much sugar in something, it's going to be tasty. But yeah, as a popsicle form, I don't know. It's probably my least favorite way to have had red bean paste. Every other way that I've had it, in a little soup or as a little drink in a can or in a bun, they all just seem to fit better. Red bean paste popsicle, a little odd, but definitely not bad. And when it's hot out, fuck it, dude. It was fine. I'll take it. Am I coming up to this hiking trail? Yeah, I mean, it just seems like the road just ends, but I guess we'll see. But anyway, yeah, this is nice because the heat warning is still in effect. And in fact, AccuWeather, I usually find the AccuWeather website is a pretty good weather website. It's pretty accurate, but it was way off today. Today it said for Jeju Island that it was 32 degrees, but it feels like 37. And I was like, are you fucking crazy? What are you talking about? But I would look out the window at my hotel room and I had the window open and it's like, I don't think so.
Hello.
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 There's some lads on bicycles just went by. Oh, good. There was a path. I saw that. I'm like, oh, is that the path I'm supposed to take? But the bicycle guys went the other way. There's another path I didn't see. I guess I'll follow them. But yeah, I was like, what are you talking about with this weather? This doesn't make any sense. And yeah, it seems to not be that way, because then I didn't see the temperature again till I got to the bus stop, and it's so cool how the bus stop just has information like that. And it said 26 degrees. That feels way better, way more accurate. Again, given the circumstances of the time of year, I'll take it, dude. That is like nothing. All right, what do we got here? Got a little rest stop area where there's just like tables and chairs under a big kind of tarped off thing, so that's kind of cool. You could hang out there. But it looks like that path I saw before goes up across a little mountain ridge. The one I took is down to the shoreline. I think I can keep going along the shoreline. Looks like if I do have to abandon and scramble my way up this thing, it's not like a cliffside. It's steepish, but I could go up that if I had to. This is similar looking to that cool area I was at that was like the bird reservation. There's a big area coming up that looks very much like that, which on the map appears to be Songgaksan Viewpoint. And the Songgaksan Dulegil Trail is connected. Songansan Mountain temporarily closed. How interesting. Anyway, importantly, after that, Sagye Beach. I'm really quite far away from the road for this stretch. And I was like, what's gonna happen? Am I gonna be trapped just far away from the road? But it seems like at the pace I'm going, it's about a quarter after four, I should be able to make it to more or less connect back up to the bus route by the end of today, hopefully. But yeah, man, I sure am fucking glad I found that convenience store. Holy shit, that saved my ass. Fueling up with a Snickers bar, some coffee, and some red bean paste fucking popsicles makes a big fucking difference. All right, this Songgaksan Trail, it looks like it's like a one-way trail. I gotta walk down the trail to the Songgaksan Viewpoint, S-O-N-G-A-K-S-A-N, and then walk right back. Though there's another photo area further on, but I have no idea what that is or how to get there. And the middle part is temporarily closed, but yeah, that looks like a plan. Oh, shit. Speak of the devil. Here's the fucking Olay Trail sign. I didn't even realize that I was following the Olay Trail right now. Maybe this will be a loop, because yeah, it's sending me down this little path through a field. And this is before the beginning of the trail on Google Maps. That would be sweet. Maybe I can make a loop out of this. But the other thing is more semi-wild animals, wildish animals, how I was just talking about horse statues earlier. I just kind of looked up, and there was a horse right across the street from me. With, maybe there's like a tiny little ditch? I don't even think so, though. I think that's just the road. I think this horse could do whatever it wants. But it was just standing there so completely silently that I was like, I mean, that's definitely a real horse. It's right across the street from me. There's no effing way that's not a real horse. But it just didn't move. It just didn't move at all. And then finally its ear twitched. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I knew it was a real horse. But it was so, so still. But yeah, still, that's just so cool. I love just bumping into random animals on Jeju Island. And in a good way, not in a you're gonna get gored by a boar kind of way. And here we go. Now I can see this kind of coastal. This reminds me of, I don't know what it's called, but yeah, there does appear to be a loop. So I'm gonna follow the Olay trail markers and take the loop. So I'm going into the middle of the mountain for now, and I guess I'll take the coast when I come back around. But yeah, this going around the coast and there's these rocks out in the water. It reminds me of in Vancouver, if you go in West Vancouver to, man, I don't remember the names of any of these things now, but where you catch the ferry. Horseshoe Bay, it's called. Because it is this really cool Horseshoe Bay, you know? There's like big mountains all around on all the sides. And sometimes I used to go there. I've taken a ferry from there, but I used to go there just because you can just take the subway to the sea bus and take the sea bus to North Vancouver and then take the bus to West Van. And just hang out there. There's a fresh slice pizza, and I think it's a Blends coffee. And I would just go there to hang out because it's so pretty. And then I just come back after doing some writing or whatever. But there is a part there where you can go around the coastline and out around. And it's a little tricky because you kind of got to walk on a highway for part of it. But that's what this is reminding me of. Pretty fucking nice. Pretty fucking pretty. Songgaksan Mountain and the 99 Bongs, parentheses, peaks. Huh. I'm very slowly piecing together Korean terms, because bong is another one you see all the time, B-O-N-G. If bong means peak, that would explain why you see the term bong all the time, because this is the most mountainous country I've ever seen in my entire life. So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, apparently this mountain, this a former volcano, has 99 peaks in total, two major ones. The view from the mountain during the early morning mist and evening glow of the sunset are beautiful beyond expression, attracting poets and painters. Well, sounds good to me, man. Let's fucking check it out. Oh, and there's a tiny map, yeah, and there's really only this path I'm on. Either goes around the coast, or there's a secondary path up to the peak, which, according to Google Maps, is closed, but that's okay. That's okay, I'm here for the coast today. I'm sure the peak is very nice, but when I got a choice, I'll always take the coast. All right, well, this is pretty interesting. So the way to the peak is definitely blocked off. I don't exactly know why. And I thought the trail around was blocked off at first, but it's just blocked off to cars. You have to kind of sneak your way around this little gate on foot, but there's somebody else who just walked by me. Yeah, someone else coming down. It's definitely okay. But I found a little plaque. Tunnel fortifications of Imperial Japan near the foot of Songgaksan Mountain, Jeju. This military facility was made to defend Altioro Airfield, which is spelled different than how it is on Google Maps, which was of strategic importance to the Japanese military. I should cut out the part about it being spelled different, because who cares? Japanese is spelled wrong, everything's spelled wrong. Let's just start over. This military facility was made to defend Altioro Airfield, which was of strategic importance to the Japanese military. A total of 13 tunnel fortifications are distributed near the foot of Songgaksan Mountain, with the tunnels and entrances in the form of a centipede. Of the tunnel fortifications found in Jeju, this is the second largest in size, with 1,433 meters in total length, and is the largest of the number of entrances, with 41. As a Japanese military facility from the colonial period, 1910 to 1945, this fortification stands as evidence of Japan's attempts to turn Jeju into a resistance base in the face of defeat at the end of the Pacific War. So that's pretty interesting. If this is the second biggest, I wonder if those caves I found east of Jeju City, if those are the number one. Who knows, though? Who knows how many sets of Japanese war caves there are around this island? But yeah, I did not expect that, but that's really interesting. And then there's, so far I've seen two so far, these must be cave entrances. Yeah, let me walk down to this thing where it's fenced off and it looks like just a hole in the ground. But this one I can get closer to. Yeah, geez, this is crazy, dude. There's another plaque here that says the same thing as the other one. And yeah, it looks like just a hole in the ground, but then yeah, like it goes down into a tunnel, which it would be crazy to go in there, but I wonder how deep it goes. And there's a guy walking backwards up this trail. I've tried that before, because walking backwards, it really is interesting exercise. It really works some different muscles, but it's really hard to walk backwards, you know, to find an area where you can walk backwards without tripping over stuff. But I guess this guy's done it before, because he's very confident. But yeah, this is very interesting. Definitely this western side of Jeju has gotten a lot more interesting the farther along I go. It was definitely a little bit, not a lot going on the northwestern corner, the northwestern quarter. And since then, all kinds of stuff. Oh, no way, does that count? There's another fence and a sign that says risk of collapse. Cave trenches of Mount Songgaxa. And this is like a really small one, like you'd have to shimmy inside this one. But if that connects up, I mean, I guess, yeah, 41 entrances, that's a lot of entrances. Oh, there's another one across from here. Man, that's so eerie, the idea of going in there and just having all of your supplies and stuff. There are many other military facilities in the vicinity. This other sign says more than 60 cave trenches were built from 1943 to 1945. They were built at the end of the Pacific War, when the Imperial Japanese military was losing the war and driven to a corner. The cave trenches in Mount Songgaksan, along with other military facilities still remaining on Jeju, are the proof that the Imperial Japanese military was fortifying Jeju as their last defense line to fight against the enemies. There are many other military facilities in the vicinity, such as the cave trenches for anti-aircraft guns and the coastal cave trenches in Seotal Orium, Aldro Airfield, hangars for fighter aircrafts, underground bunkers, and military facilities in Igyodong and Moseilbong Peak. Yeah, and then over here across, just another entrance. But yeah, that's, I mean, these entrances, even the quote-unquote big ones, they're still pretty eerie, like the idea of going down in there. But that really little one, man, I'm such a video game moron that I just think of, like, Metal Gear Solid, you know, or The Last of Us Part 2, where instead of just crouching, you could get all the way down to a full crawl. Just crawl your way in there. Well, unexpected. An eerie window into the past, but also very freaking interesting. Man, this walk around this mountain is fucking beautiful. It's a like a whole wooden walkway with nice fencing, big thick wooden fence sides the whole time, which is good because as you go farther and farther, these cliffs get more and more severe until, like, this part I'm at right now, there's like a big like part jutting up that then goes way down, way steep down to just like sheer rock cliff sides, and the water down there is just like psh, like really, I mean, it's really windy today, but like really heavy waves, you know, like really just white, just like the ocean, because it's all overcast today, is all very dark gray, a little bit bluish gray, and then yeah, just this one part where the waves are all just white crashing. It's just like scary, like goddamn, I don't know how I would fall down there, but if I did, death for sure. And this is about halfway. There's like an observatory and it's blocked off, but I believe this is one of those cases where by the time you're hearing this, this should all be fine, because it seems like it's blocked off because they're literally rebuilding the walkway. I don't know if you can hear them, but there's, yeah, a couple of guys behind me that were also here at this dead end. Yeah, so they're literally building new steps and new walkways. So it makes sense that it's blocked off, because yeah, there's no other option. This would be very impossible to walk along without this walkway. So I guess I just got to turn around and go back. I can see the peak from here though, which I wasn't allowed to go up to. But I bet it's nice from up there too. But yeah, this is so dang beautiful that it's walking back is no problem. Now I get to see it from the opposite direction. And in fact, maybe I'll try to loop around, go around the other side, and see if I can get to that same dead end on the other side. I think it's worth it. Because this is mega pretty. If this is really all I do today, that is fine. This is definitely one of those, no pun intended, one of those peak moments, you know, one of those like best parts of the walk around the coast. And yeah, now I can see these steps I'm on now, like I just passed some that were all nice and painted and new, and now these ones I'm on now, you can tell these have not been replaced in a long time. The paint is almost entirely washed off from the weather. Yeah, it must be tricky doing maintenance on these steps because, yeah, it does interrupt the whole flow. When you're working on a part, everything's blocked off. There's no alternate path. But yeah, man, fucking beautiful. Really fucking beautiful. Man, what in the holy fuck? What is going on? So, on the way back, like halfway back, there's another trail that is like, oh yeah, I did see this on the way. And I didn't take it, but now I took it as an alternate route. It seems to cut through the middle of this mountain. I think I'm not heading toward the peak. I think I'm looking at the peaks right now. Yeah, I guess they said there was two major peaks, right? And I'm looking at, yeah, like a double peak. One of them's taller than the other. And now that I look closely, there is a fence and a sign up there. So yeah, at some point you could go to those peaks, but it looks like I'm heading through the middle, but that's nice because this will get me to the other side without having to loop all the way around. But I just stopped at a break in the trees and I was looking over at these peaks and I saw these white things on, it's a very steep mountain, very fucking steep. And again, they're barely moving. And I'm like, my first thought was those look like horses, but then they weren't moving that much. And I'm like, oh, they must not be. Those must be like tarps. I wish I had fucking binoculars. Cause like I got my glasses checked right before I left Canada. So I'm as good as I'm gonna get, but they're just a bit too far away. But then, yeah, I slowly saw, you know, tails mainly moving and it's like, yeah, those are fucking horses. And then I noticed down in the valley under me, there's a bunch of brown horses and more of a traditional farm setup going on down there. But yeah, on this mountain, now I can see there's a brown horse up there too. But like, I can't overemphasize how fucking steep this thing is. Like, it's all greenery. It's not like a sheer cliff, but it's very fucking steep. I just don't understand how those horses are there. They're like 3/4 of the way up. And I always thought horses, like, aren't they kind of famous for having, like, kind of a weird evolutionary design where they have these super heavy upper bodies and very thin legs? So, you know, like, if a horse breaks its leg, that's when you gotta put old Bessie down. Well, I guess Bessie's a cow, right? I was gonna say Old Yeller, but that's a dog. What's a horse name? I was gonna say Tonto, but no, Tonto's a human being. What's a famous horse? Mr. fucking Ed? I don't know. The point is, these enormous creatures with these little spindly legs, I don't know how the fuck they got where they are. Yeah, now one of them's walking around and moving and like they're just chilling. They're like mountain goats, but they're fucking horses. It's like blowing my mind. I just don't know how they got there. How do they do that? There must be like a trail that's more gradual that got them where they're going. Because between this farmland I'm seeing and where they are, there's no goddamn way. I would have a hard time scrambling my way up and down that. If a horse does that, I'll be a motherfucking monkey's uncle. What the hell? But I mean, that's like the wild horses of Jeju taken to a new level. Again, like, I guess I've been saying this like the whole time that I've been in Korea, ever since, you know, just like the stray dogs and cats in Seoul. And I mean, it just, that it feels like a VR simulation that glitched out. Like, things just aren't quite right. It's like the Matrix, but it's a copy of a copy of a copy, so that just things aren't quite right anymore. Horses aren't supposed to be on the side of a mountain, you know? Like, that feels like a video game that's going wrong. But that's how things really are in South Korea. That's how it is. I mean, I've been here for months and I keep bumping into situations like this. It's fucking crazy, man. What a memorable goddamn country. I don't know what else to say. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just stuff that, like you can't ever predict it. You never expect it. Because, like, why would I think that? Why would I think, like, hey, I bet those wild horses, sometimes they just, they're probably just on the side of a sheer fucking mountainside sometimes. Of course I wouldn't think that. Why would they ever, how would that happen? Why would that happen? But there it is. It's fucking happening. Man. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's two ways to look at it. Either it's that South Korea really is quite an unusual place where wackiness abounds, or I just really don't know shit about anything. I just truly don't know the parameters of the world. I just don't know how anything is supposed to be or how anything works. So, hence I'm constantly fucking gobsmacked by what's going on around here. But yeah, now as I move along, I'm a little closer now. I can see them more clearly. Yeah, those are some motherfucking mountain horses. What the fuck? All right, I'm at Songak Mountain Panorama, which I believe is the second highest peak. And then there's a very permanent sign and very thick rope saying the closed area heading to the main peak. But it's only, the main peak's only like a little bit higher than this. But this doesn't look like a temporary closure. I think the main peak is definitely a protected, like, don't go there area. But this is cool. I didn't expect to even be able to get to the secondary peak. And now I'm on the other side of those horses. And yeah, it's just like, hey guys, I can't see the white horses from here. Where were they? Yeah, it's just too steep from here. I can't see down to where they are, but there's two brown horses, like, right here. You know, there's a fence between me and them. I couldn't quite reach out and touch these horses, but almost. And yet, they're just chilling. I mean, I guess from up here, it doesn't seem as bad. Like, this particular part of the mountain is definitely less steep. I think if you did just go slowly, yeah, I guess I can see how you could do this, but it still gets way steeper over to the side where those white horses were. Still find this pretty fucking wild. But I guess if this is what you do all day, you're just a horse who lives on this mountain. You know, I guess you just keep exploring. Why not? Yeah, one of these is like a pretty full-grown horse, and the other one is like not a baby, but like a teenager horse. Man, yeah, pretty cool, dude. It's like I keep, I don't know, it's like the animals are evolving. You know, the first animals I came across a lot were the cats on the mountains within Seoul, within, like, the city proper. On the smaller mountains, there was enough cats to cause me to look it up, like, what's going on here? And then on the bigger mountains, I started seeing dogs, which, silly me, I thought, like, oh, that's just a one-off event until I kept seeing them. And then when I got to Bukhansan and the Sirius Mountains, that's where there was, like, the lifers, the snow dogs. Well, I mean, on the smaller mountains, they were lifers, too. They clearly just lived on those mountains. But yeah, now we've jumped all the way to horses. This mountain is definitely Horse Mountain. I don't know if I've ever been this close to a horse before. I'm sure I must have been at some point. But it's funny when you just kind of don't realize stuff like that. Like, I saw giraffes at a zoo in Ontario once. And that's when it first occurred to me, like, oh yeah, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen a giraffe in real life, and definitely not close up. And they're so big. They're really, really big. Which, I guess, I mean, when Ellie sees the fucking giraffe in The Last of Us, she's on the second floor, you know, and she pets its head. I guess I knew they were that big, but seeing them in real life, it's like, whoa. Not quite that case with horses. Like, the other thing with, like, Canada life, like a moose. When you see a moose in real life, it's like, holy fuck, that's big. That thing is giant. These horses, they're not giant. They're just normal size. Actually, might be a little smaller than what I think of as a horse size. But it's still really pretty cool just to be this close, and they don't give a shit. And I'm trying not to talk too loud to be too obnoxious, but yeah, they're not paying any attention. They don't care at all about me. Man, pretty fucking nice. And then from up here, I can see out to the city and up the coast, which disappears pretty quickly into the haze of this overcast day. I technically haven't walked around to the observation point that I got blocked off at before. Oh, but there it is. I wonder if I will. I mean, it is right there. It's not that far. I guess I'll go. Why not? Finish this off proper. But yeah, 6 o'clock. This day is stretching on a little. This is definitely it for today. But man. Yeah, definitely, definitely. The southwestern quarter of Jeju. It's like we're back. The power's back. What the heck? I hear a voice very distinctly, but I don't see anybody. Where did that come from? I guess because I'm up on a mountain, there's nothing to block sound, so I can just hear anyone who's around, but I don't see anybody. That's weird. But yeah, southeast, awesome. Northeast, awesome. Northwest, you just kind of got to get through it. And then southwest, awesome. I mean, between cliff sides and dolphins and Horse Mountain, it's been real good. Real dang good. Oh, shit. This path I'm on. Okay, no, I guess this is how it's supposed to be. It looks like it's like suddenly been torn up, but it's just that the wooden steps just become rock. Just kind of becomes part of the rocky mountain. But yeah, I guess this isn't, it's not too hard to walk on. It just looks, it looks surprising. But all right, time to complete this loop now. So I'm on the other side of those terrifying cliffs I was talking about with all the really white sea foam. The, like, you fall off this, you're fucking dead. I haven't quite completed the whole loop to the other blocked off area, but I can see it from here. So I will go do that just for the sake of it. But yeah, I've seen a bunch more horses. Oh, there's another horse. There's a horse right there. And I passed a few more on the way here. Just horses all over the place. But from where I'm at now, this nice viewpoint, at the corner of the mountain, you can see a bunch of different little islands in the sea. I don't know which island's which or whatever, but there's a bunch of plaques here that are all interesting in different ways. So let me just read them. So first, Senbangsan, which is the mountain that I'm on. Senbangsan Mountain is included in Yeongju's 10 sceneries, representing the top 10 most beautiful landscapes on Jeju. I do wonder. I wonder what the other ones are. I'll never remember, so let me take a picture of that. So then when I'm looking through my pictures at the end of the day, I'll remember to go look that up, because I wonder if I've seen any of the other sceneries by accident. Because, you know, there was the Muntan Trail, I'm pretty sure it was called, in Busan. That was one of the top 10 best scenes in all of Korea, north and south. But yeah, the 10 most beautiful of Jeju, I would be curious. I have to have seen at least a couple of them besides this. But this mountain is a trachytic tuffed lava dome rising 395 meters above sea level. Unlike other volcanic rock walls, rare plants such as centipede's foot orchid and the glabrous Korean boxwood grow on the Senbangsan rock face. These endemic features have warranted the mountain being designated and protected as a natural monument. Man, yeah, there are so many plants and animals and fruits and vegetables and just so many things in the world that I've never heard of before. It's fucking crazy. It really feels like a video game, like a super rare thing. Like, I remember with that Zelda game, Breath of the Wild. I never actually technically finished it because I started it. I didn't play it until the DLC was out that had the master mode or whatever, where everything was super tough, which is how I prefer games to be. I kind of like super hard video games. But there were two of the four bosses where I made it to the bosses, and I was just like, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of fighting them. All I had left to do was fight those two bosses and fight Ganon, and I just watched it on YouTube. I'm like, fuck it. But I did try to, like, just finish my armor upgrades and stuff. And, you know, that's when it's easy to upgrade if you've just accidentally picked up the right flora and fauna along the way. But if you're missing stuff, then it's like, oh, shit. Now I got to figure out what area of the map this stuff's in and the right conditions for it to appear. I did that for a while, but after a while you're like, what am I doing with myself? But that's what this sounds like it would be. Like, you'd have to climb with your little stamina meter, climb on the side of this rock cliff face and not run out of stamina and not be doing it on a rainy day and try to collect these rare plants. Centipede's foot orchid. What the fuck is that? But there's also Marado Island, first inhabited in 1883. It's the southernmost point of Korea. And it's the first Korean island one encounters traveling north and the final sight of land sailing south. So again, I don't quite know which one that is because the little map here is all in Korean. But technically, I'm seeing the one of these islands. I don't know which one, but it's the very tippity tip of the Korean territory. That's pretty fucking cool, man. I'm not on it, but I'm seeing it. I can see it from here. The entire island was once forested, but it's rumored that a farmer, fearing the invasion of snakes, burned the entire forest under the cover of darkness while blowing a tungso, a Korean musical instrument. Now the island is covered in grass. It only takes 90 minutes to tour the whole island, and at its highest point, the island features a lighthouse, which is listed on a world ocean map. Well, all right, then I should be able to... Okay, so it's that island, because that's the one that has a lighthouse. Cool. Yeah, it's not that far from here. It's a little hazy, a little hard to see on this particular day, but I'm seeing it. There it is. Cool, man. That is fucking cool. And Gapado Island, located 5.4 kilometers south from the Mosilpo port, is between Mosilpo and Marado. So that's that island. People first started to live on Gapado in the mid-19th century. Gapado was first introduced to the Western world as quelparts in a book, Hamel's Journal, by Henrik Hamel, a Dutch sailor who drifted to Gapado in 1653 and wrote a book after returning to his country. That kind of shit is just so wild to me. I mean, I feel pretty pleased with, like, my explorations that I've done in life. But, you know, I'm very fucking aware that I'm a huge wuss, you know? Just the fact that the world is easy now. It's easy to travel. You know, I just walked past a washroom earlier that had a Wi-Fi outside of it, you know? That's the kind of adventure I'm down for. The idea in 1653 to be on that island that I'm looking at right now, which currently has, it looks like, windmills. Yeah, definitely a couple windmills. Back then, didn't have shit. Didn't have fucking shit. And some Dutch guy was over there? What do you think the chances are that the Dutch guy could speak the Korean language? You know? I don't know. I mean, I've never heard of the guy before. But that's another example of somebody I should look up. What the fuck? That's a level of adventure I can't even comprehend. It would never happen. I would just be, back in those days, I would stay tucked away. I'd have my roll-top desk. I'd assemble, I guess. I'd be the guy who put together the book. I'd stay home and I would publish that guy's journals and memoirs. I would never, never be the guy who did that myself. I mean, even right now, I don't know how you get out to that island, but even that's a step too far. I can just look at it from here. A nice bus ride and a short afternoon of walking gets me close enough to see it. Sailing here from the goddamn Netherlands. Crazy, man. Also, I can hear how I still once in a while become aware of how often I swear. I just don't even notice it when I'm talking. It's just the natural way that feels normal for me to talk. Then I listen back and I'm like, why does this man swear so much? But whatever, dude, it's just how it is. It's just how it's gonna be. Obviously, anyone who had a problem with that is gone by now. Episode 6 fucking zillion of this podcast. But it is a weird affectation. I wonder if it is just as simple as the fact that when I was a kid, I got my mouth washed out with soap. Don't you swear? You know, my mom came from like a freaking Dickensian era with 12 brothers and sisters, super poor family. She came from a different world. She thought it was very normal to wash people's mouth out with soap, where you literally, I know it sounds insane probably to newer generations, you literally take a bar of soap, cram it in a kid's mouth who's trying to stop this from happening, but I probably just caused my teeth to grind more of the soap off, and then you got soap in your mouth, and you just, you know, go rinse it out. No permanent damage done. But certainly not pleasant. And yeah, I can't even... If I had to guess how many times I had my mouth washed out with, quote-unquote, washed out with soap, I don't know, 50 times? Easy. Fucking stupid bullshit. Here's the end of the path. Blocked off. I made it. Did the whole loop. But yeah, nowadays, I sure do relish the swearing. But I mean, I can see why when I was in my 20s or whatever, it's like, yeah, okay, rebel against your upbringing. That's fine. Now I'm in my 40s. What the fuck's wrong with me? Why can't I stop swearing? I think it's just too late. It's just too late. It's just how it is now. It's just how I talk. Don't wash your... I don't think I need to tell anybody this. I don't think anybody's washing their kid's mouth out with soap anymore. That feels like it's from a different goddamn century. Well, technically it is from a different century. It's from the 20th century. But don't bother. It doesn't work. It's not going to make your kid stop swearing. It's going to do just the fucking opposite. All right, well, mega success. This is fucking awesome. This mountain is awesome. Hey, horsey. How you doing, horsey? But now I just got to go get back to the bus. Bus on back home. But yeah, this is wonderful, dude. Yeah, I know I had initial concerns about, like, should I... Like, because what I'm doing now is taking the bus the short way, you know? Taking the bus west from Seguapo and then backtracking. And I was like, oh, is this going to kind of spoil the surprise? Am I going to see things on the bus before I get there? But that hasn't at all been an issue. Because the bus line just doesn't pass by any of this type of stuff, you know? I still had no idea this was coming. I had no idea this was here. There are a couple of cool mountainy looking neat places that I pass on the bus that I'm you know, vaguely aware of, like, oh, okay, this and that are coming up. They might be cool. But there's nothing wrong with having a little preview. And there is still so much stuff that I just didn't expect ever. So yeah, I would say if anyone else is all neurotic like me, don't worry about that type of stuff. Just take whatever bus ride is the shortest. Because, yeah, less time on the bus, that's a fucking gift. Those long bus rides were really getting rough for a while. But, yeah, all in all, this walking around Jeju thing, it is really, it's really worth it. It does just keep paying off, man. It's cool as hell. All right, well, I imagine that's it for today. I mean, I got a ways ahead of me. I got a ways to walk before I get back to the bus, but I have a feeling that the southernmost point in all of Korea and horses on cliff sides, I think that's the top event of the day. I don't think anything's going to top that. So thank you for listening. Join me next time as we continue the walk. It's getting closer and closer. I still have these vague worries that I might not complete the whole loop, especially if something goes wrong with the weather. But it's getting close. All right, one more thing to tack on at the end of this episode. So yeah, I was really nowhere near the bus line. I just kept going farther and farther and farther, and it's like, well, I should just go a little farther and a little farther and just add a little more and a little more, because if I was to cut suddenly to the side to get up to the bus route, it would be a long walk, and it's just kind of seemed better to just keep following the coast until I got closer to the bus route. And I guess it's not that bad. It's not quite 8 o'clock yet. It's pretty much dark. It'll be dark soon. But since I'm relatively close to Seguapo now, I don't have to worry about the transfer point or anything. Hopefully the bus should be no problem from here, even though I'm a little late getting on it. I think it'll be fine. But the thing that's been looming the whole time, this is one of the things that I notice every time as I take the bus by on my way out here, is this big mountain that is called Sanbang Mountain, S-A-N-B-A-N-G, which again, I mean, just it is, all of the words, the names are so similar. It's like, have I really not mentioned a Sanbang Mountain before? I mean, obviously not, but it's just so similar. All the names are so similar. I know it's because I'm illiterate and I don't know what I'm reading, but that's, I mean, what a generic name. I don't know, everything has such a generic name. But anyway, this mountain is cool as hell. It's really big, and the top is invisible because of all the mist today, because it's so overcast. It's been that way all day, and it still is now at night. And it's cool, because now that it's getting dark, I can see the buildings that go a little ways up. There's some lights, and then there's some lights like halfway up. And I have no idea what those lights are, what they're illuminating. This mountain is really steep. Really steep all around, so I have no idea if you can actually go up to the top of this thing. I mean, there's probably some way, but this is definitely where the adventure is picking up next time. Because, yeah, I'm going to the bus right next to this bad boy. Sagyeri Dongdong, S-A-G-Y-E. And yeah, this thing looks cool as fuck. Big, cool, looming mountain right there. So yeah, I just thought I would tack that on. A little sneak preview. Stay tuned. That's what's happening next time. Let's see, on Google Maps, there are a couple of temples. There's no paths marked on Google Maps. No obvious way to get up there. I don't know. I don't know if there is a way. I'll have to research before I come here. This thing, I don't want to just try to approach it without knowing what's going on, because from this side, me being south of it, it is very sheer. I could not get up there without legitimate mountain climbing gear. That is some serious shit. So we'll see. Maybe I can't get up it at all. Maybe it'll just be heading around it. There's also some kind of an amusement park near here. Luna Fall, it's called. But yeah, I suppose if I can't get up there, maybe I'll just circle around it. Maybe I'll just walk by and it'll be pretty. Who knows? Here's the bus stop. Let's see what we got. Oh, there's somebody waiting. That's a good sign. Oh, I'm on the wrong side. So on my side, there's nobody waiting. We do have an electronic screen. How nice. 9 minutes. Cool. All right, Sanbang Mountain. I'll see you next time, motherfucker. Yeah, shit. Even just from this bus stop, I'm just staring at it. It's just, I guess, why I wanted to turn on the recorder and just get a little mountain blabbing before next time, is these lights that are midway up, because I won't be able to see those next time in the day. What the heck are those? Is there stuff there? I have no idea. But, I mean, it is really goddamn steep. I don't know what those possibly could be lighting up. I have no fucking idea. Again, it just feels like such a video game thing. It's like, man, save up your stamina bar. Make some fucking stamina potions. Climb your way up that shit. And then go in where the light is. Go in the cave. Find something super secret. Because that is some crazy stuff. But all right, there we go. That's the end for real. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Adios.